my wife Betty, and my granddaughter Kylie. Today's scriptures come from the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 20, in the Contemporary English Version.
Who is Jesus? When Jesus and his disciples were near the town of Caesarea Philippi, he asked them, "What do people say about the Son of Man?"
The disciples answered, "Some people say you are John the Baptist, or maybe Elijah, or Jeremiah, or some other prophet." Then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter spoke up, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God."
Jesus told him, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. You didn't discover this on your own. It was shown to you by my Father in heaven. So I will call you Peter, which means a rock. On this rock I will build my church, and death itself will have no power over it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth, but he will not allow anything that you don't allow."
Jesus told his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for you this morning. Lord, use us for your glory. May we all experience you in this moment, and may we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. May all that we do during our time of worship together be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen, amen, amen. Weeks ago, it was probably months ago, to be honest, during one of our staff team meetings, I challenged the staff to look at their life and write down 100 blessings. I think I may have mentioned this in a sermon, and I know I mentioned it on a few leadership calls. And I want you to know that I did not intend for us to share this list, though some were more willing than others. I felt personally it was a very intimate and personal thing to share. But I wanted us to stay focused on Jesus as we adjusted our lives as well as the church through the pandemic. One of the caveats to the list was that you could not repeat yourself. So imagine how deeply one had to think and reflect on this 100 blessing journey. It's one thing to tell someone, count your blessings, but it's completely different when you ask someone to write them down. In that moment, we were all challenged to think beyond all the things that were normal for us. And so today in our text message, it reminds me of that day so long ago. As the staff and I dialogued about ways to create opportunities for all of us to live out our faith in action, we mirrored this encounter that we witnessed within this text, an intimate conversation between a group of people in transition. Today, we witness Jesus at a pivotal point in his ministry. Until this moment, he has been going from town to town, preaching, healing, teaching, and proclaiming God's word. Like his disciples, we have seen him weep, be filled with compassion, heal and feed crowds, walk on water, observe a Canaanite woman desperately plea for Jesus to heal her daughter, to which he replies, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you just as you wish." We have seen him withdraw from the crowds, seeking solitude, rest, and a time of prayer. Though we cannot see him in person, nor walk in the dust of his path, We're onlookers to the acts of Jesus through the reading and the hearing of God's divine word. We are witnesses to the multitude of emotions and the disciples trying to figure things out. Not that they had all the answers, but they certainly continued to ask questions and follow the path of grace, the path of love, compassion, and relationship that had been set before them. As we look deeper into this passage, we're able to see this too is a pivotal moment in the disciples' journey. We find ourselves in the area of Caesarea Philippi, a city built by Herod's son Philip and named for Tiberius Caesar. This area is where the Roman god Pan is well known. Pan, who is beast-like and worshipped as the god of shepherds and flocks. I imagine this location is not a coincidence, as the one whom we know as the Good Shepherd over his flock stands in this transitory moment and asks the question in verse 13, "Who do people say that I am?" I have to be honest. I imagine Jesus being a little egotistical in verse 13. I may have shared this with a few of you, but several years ago, I had someone boldly say to me, after he could not get what he wanted, "Do you know who I am?" I had to pause for a moment. There were many words that crossed my mind, some of them not so Christ-like. But instead, I boldly responded, "Well, do you know who I am?" Of course, years later, I still remember the look on his face. But in this moment, in this city, where this other God, this other shepherd is worshipped, Jesus asks the disciples, not for ego, but to clarify any misconceptions that may arise, who do they, the people whom I fed, whom I have healed, whom I have taught, whom do they say that I am? I mean, in all fairness, this is a very bold question. And in lay terms, the disciples respond, "Some of you say you are the resurrected John the Baptist. Some of you say that you are Elijah the prophet, the one that we know in 2 Kings who is taken up to heaven and seen again later. Some of you say that you are Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." It is obvious there is a very high opinion of Jesus's identity, yet it seems as if no one understands exactly what or whom they're witnessing because they have never seen someone like Jesus before. This moment, this is the apex, the high point, the zenith within this transitory moment as Jesus calls forth a confession of his deepest identity. He focuses his shift from the crowd of people, from people in general, to the disciples themselves. You know, as I read or hear the next question that's aimed toward the disciples, my breath stops every single time. When he asks in verse 15, "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" It is easier to quickly move on and read or hear Simon Peter's reaction, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and take his response as our own. It may be a little easier to hear the Greek word for church in this passage is literally translated as community. It may be a little easier to hear how our theological faith and doctrines are shaped by these very words. It may be a little easier to hear, to accept that Simon Peter's reaction and the disciples' silence as we assume they agree with his response. It may be a little easier to hear and accept the Old Testament blessing and name change bestowed upon Simon Peter. You may recognize this from Genesis, where God changes the name of Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. It may be a little easier in many ways to learn how Peter, the rock, the stone, represents the foundation of the universal church. It may be a little easier to witness Matthew 6, verse 10 from the Lord's Prayer come to life in verse 19. As we hear, anything you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. It may be easier, but is it wise to move on before we collectively and individually call forth Jesus's deepest identity, my relationship, your relationship in him, and answer the very question posed to those disciples? What about you, Linda? What about you, Diane? What about you, Cookie? What about you, Carol? What about you, Doug? What about you, Cokesbury? Who do you say that I am? Today is not about knowledge or rumors or hearsay. It is about a relationship and our very real and lived intimacy with our Creator. It is a manifestation of our own involvement in the life of God. Father Simeon Erasmus Myrikakis writes, "It is as if Jesus were saying, I can understand people out there, outside of my circle. They may be mistaken about how they view me. But you, who have lived with me day by day for so long, you who have heard me speak and pray and teach, you who have sat with me at tables and witnessed my miracles, you have been through the storms on the lake, who do you say that I am?" Like the disciples, we too have had ample opportunity to experience Jesus shining upon our lives and the lives of those around us. But to what extent is Jesus known, understood, and accepted by you? Who do you say that I am? My breath stops every time. We can learn the doctrines, the theology behind what we believe, but can we confess in the midst of distractions, idols, and pain? Can we confess in the midst of political and racial unrest? Can we confess in the midst of a global pandemic, teachers and friends being laid off, unemployment, hunger and homelessness on the rise, fake news streaming 24/7, 365, and a cancel culture at its highest. Who do you say that I am for yourselves? So that you can bring this intimacy with the Creator to everyone else. This is a transitory text in the midst of our transitory lives. Beloved, Jesus said, the gates of Hades will not be able to stand against the church, against those who recognize and proclaim Christ. Sin and evil will continue, but it will not prevail. It will not gain a foothold over love. It will not stamp out compassion. It will not hinder divine intervention or divine revelation. It will not stop transformation or God's divine care for us all. We are the body of Christ, given authority to overcome despair by speaking about the impact of Jesus Christ in our lives. Who do you say that I am? We witness and sing about the biblical names of Jesus, which for some of us are words and phrases that may not resonate with us in real time as it comforts the souls of others. You saw the words on your screen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Bread of Life, Rock of Ages, Good Shepherd, High Priest, Lamb of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega. You watch them scroll. And Jesus in this moment is asking, each of us is asking you, in your own words, to respond. Who do you say that I am? I invite you to hear this question and to respond as if Jesus asked you directly. I know for me, Jesus is the Son of the Living God. And when I find myself crying out, "How long, Lord," in various moments throughout my life, I know through the grief, through the uncertainty, through the pain, through the fear, through the solitude and confusion, through the storms, named and unnamed, there is no power greater than He. So beautiful, people of God, Jesus asks you this day, who do you say that I am? When your best friend is no longer on this side of heaven, who do you say that I am? As you brush your teeth every morning and notice another gray hair or wrinkle, who do you say that I am? When you're isolated and lonely every day of the week, who do you say that I am? When the grief is so overwhelming that you cannot get out of bed, who do you say that I am? When Black Lives Matter is met with All Lives Matter, who do you say that I am? When the cancer comes back, who do you say that I am? When your prayers continue to go unanswered, who do you say that I am? When you can't post past number 20 a blessing, who do you say that I am? And when you're out of names and terms and verses and thoughts, prayers, paper and ink, and maybe even some tears. May you muster up a response just like Peter. You are the Son of the Living God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, it's a lot to be able to reflect and sit and think about who we say that you are in our lives, as the body of Christ, in our church, as the ones who bring Christ to people and people to Christ, in our nation and in our world. Lord, stir our hearts so that we can proclaim who you are to people in need, so that we can speak life and love and grace and compassion and power into those around. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we can respond to you and to answer the question, that deep, intimate question, who do you say that I am? May we lean on you and reflect, O God, knowing who you are to each of us, so that you can manifest yourself over and over again in our world. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, Amen.